We turn now from the CIA, the agency which helped track down bin Laden and played a support role in the operation to capture or kill him, to the forces that actually carried out the mission. And we're joined now by Jeremy Scahill, a Puffin Writing Fellow at the Nation Institute. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you, Leonard.
The raid on Osama bin Laden's compound in Abbottabad was led by an elite Navy SEALs unit from the Joint Special Operations Command. Who are they?
Well, it was Navy SEAL Team 6, also known as the Naval Warfare Development Group, or DEVGRU for short. And officially, this unit doesn't exist. But in reality, this is the very tip of the spear of the U.S. war machine. They're the guys that have been doing all of the targeted killing operations since the war on terror was declared in 2001 in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, the Philippines, and elsewhere. And they're part of this command that is essentially like an all-star team drawing from Delta Force, from the Army Rangers, the Navy SEALs, and then their aviation. They're the best pilots in the world from the 160th Aviation. Their nickname is the Night Stalker. So it was this team that used to be headed by General Stanley McChrystal that is now headed by Vice Admiral William McRaven, himself a former Navy SEAL. These were the guys that took down Osama bin Laden.
And retired General Barry McCaffrey called JSOC's operators the most dangerous people on Earth. But you said that they've done targeted killing operations. I haven't been reading about targeted killing operations. Have they all been secret, or have I just not been looking in the right part of the newspaper?
Well, I mean, this is a story that I've been tracking, Leonard, for about 3 years now, and I just got back recently from Afghanistan, where I was tracking several of the targeted killing operations that they carried out inside of Afghanistan. Part of the reason that you don't hear about it is because these are heavily compartmentalized missions, meaning that they are known only to a very small circle of people, and oftentimes they may not even be known to everyone on the National Security Council. In this case, if you look at the photograph of President Obama in the Situation Room, to his right is Vice President Joe Biden, who is praying with his rosary beads as they watch the feed. And then to President Obama's left is a military man that almost no one had ever heard of, but his name is Brigadier General Brad Webb. And the reason you haven't heard of him is because he's the number three man at JSOC, the darkest of the dark forces the U.S. has. So these guys, in a way, are far more clandestine in their operations than even the Central Intelligence Agency, and their operations almost never leaked. We hear about them when things go wrong. When the aid worker Linda Norgrove was killed in Afghanistan, the British aid worker, she was actually killed by SEAL Team 6 in a botched operation where they were trying to rescue her. There were some pregnant women that were killed in a raid in Gardez, Afghanistan, in February of last year. They were also killed by JSOC operators. And an extraordinary scene played out after that because Admiral McRaven, the commander of this unit, actually went to that village and apologized for these killings. So often you only hear about it when things go wrong, but they've carried out a number of successful operations. Perhaps the most famous before bin Laden in recent times was these were the guys who took down the pirates that had hijacked the Maersk Alabama off of the coast of Somalia in April 2009.
What's the legal authority for a targeted assassination? Who decides?
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, this is entirely at the discretion of the president and in some cases at the National Security Council level. John Brennan, for instance, I know, has been involved with authorizing some of these lethal strikes. But there's a real question about the legality of going into another country and assassinating someone the way that Osama bin Laden was taken down. Now, you can be an American and say, I support the killing of Osama bin Laden, but you also have a right to question whether this is legal under the Constitution. And I think this is something that's going to be debated for some time. Under the Bush administration, Leonard, JSOC was really snatched out of the broader chain of command and effectively operated at the behest of Vice President Cheney and Defense Secretary Rumsfeld. And I've talked to people that worked with JSOC during that period who, quite frankly, were disgusted at the way they were being used under the Bush administration. Obama is very popular in the special ops community because he's given them wide latitude to strike around the world, particularly in Yemen, Somalia, and Pakistan.
So he has changed the way JSOC is employed?
Well, what he's done is, you know, there was a war, and I know you've covered this on your show, there was a sort of war between Rumsfeld and the CIA early on, and some say that's what led to the failure to capture or kill bin Laden at Tora Bora. And you know, Rumsfeld felt that the CIA was politicized and was actually liberal. If you read a book by Rowan Scarborough, one of his best friends, called Sabotage, which was about how the CIA has turned into this liberal institution that came out in the midst of the Bush administration. What President Obama has done is to bring JSOC back into the fold and have them coordinating much more deeply with the CIA. So really, to answer your question, I would say that President Obama did a lot to take down the wall between the intelligence community and the special ops community and put them back on the same page. And I think that's one of the reasons why you saw this operation go down the way that it did, because you had the full array of tools and personnel available for the operation. And under Rumsfeld, it wouldn't have gone down that way. It would have been one or the other.
Haven't the Pakistanis been trying to reduce the number of CIA operatives working in their country? Are there any formal agreements between the U.S. and Pakistan in regard to operations by U.S. special forces?
Well, of course, remember that in January of this year, we had a very high-profile incident where an American named Raymond Davis killed two Pakistanis in Lahore. It's unclear whether Raymond Davis was CIA. That's the story that's been most commonly accepted in the mainstream media and has become a part of official history. It's also possible that he was working for the Joint Special Operations Command. He had a special forces background. He had worked for Blackwater on the JSOC and CIA programs. The Pakistanis have very little problem with the CIA operating there. I mean, they certainly do their double dealing, their backstabbing, spy versus spy. They don't like U.S. Special Ops Forces raiding and killing people or capturing people in the country. There was an agreement that was brokered between General McChrystal, when he was the head of JSOC, and then-President Pervez Musharraf, that allowed U.S. Special Operations Forces, like SEAL Team 6, to come into Pakistan from Afghanistan if they were in what's called hot pursuit, meaning they were chasing Osama bin Laden or another high-value target. And the condition was that the Pakistanis would be able to deny that they had given permission for the U.S. to come in there, and that they would actually be able to condemn it publicly. That seems like it's remained the status quo for a number of years. After the Davis incident, Leonard, earlier this year, the Pakistanis said, that's it, all these guys have to leave, no more special ops. And then a few months later, we see the most spectacular event happen in the history of JSOC, where they actually kill Osama bin Laden in a raid that seems clearly not to have been cleared with the Pakistanis beforehand.
Although there is some question as to whether two helicopters going into a suburb near a major military installation could have done all that without somebody looking the other way.
Right.
You're also the author of Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, now renamed Z. I understand they just hired former Attorney General John Ashcroft. But do they fit into this equation with JSOC at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Blackwater has been disintegrating over the years because of criminal investigations. Five of their top executives have been indicted on conspiracy charges. The owner or the founder of the company, Eric Prince, has fled the United States and now lives in the United Arab Emirates. But Blackwater continues on. They're now headed by former Admiral Bobby Ray Inman. And then today we find out that they actually, I mean, this is terribly ironic. It's an indication of the Orwellian times in which we live. John Ashcroft is now the head of ethics at the new Blackwater. So, I mean, what's next is, Pastor Ted Haggard's going to become their chaplain or something.
We have been relying heavily on unmanned drone programs in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Do you think that the success of this manned mission is going to alter U.S. tactics in the region, or is this an anomalous situation?
Well, Fatima Bhutto, the great Pakistani writer, poet, said recently, if you knew where he was all this time and you took him out in a ground raid, then why have we been being bombed by your drones for so long? The reality is that the drone policy has been a mixed bag, to say the least. Yes, some individuals that have been taken out that are believed to be terrorists or militants or organizers of terrorist attacks, but a tremendous number of civilians have also been killed. So, you have to always step back and say, what is the calculus here? If we kill, 10 bad guys, but in the process kill 500 civilians, are we creating a whole new generation of people that actually have a motivation and to try to kill us? the drone operations have really quieted recently, and it could have been because they were prepping for this operation and wanted to have a quiet before the storm situation. But, you know, I think we're going to continue to see the U.S. hitting very hard in Pakistan, and I think relationships between the U.S. and Pakistan are going to continue to be very fraught, particularly with the appointment of David Petraeus as the CIA director. He does not have a good relationship with the Pakistanis.
Jeremy Scahill is a Puffin Writing Fellow at the Nation Institute. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure, Leonard.